SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number one here in full effect on the Sports Grid Network. This is the Early Line. Joe Neary and Donnie Wrightside here. Let's take a look at some Major League Baseball scores starting out in Colorado last night. Now, you might see the final score 14-4 and say, yeah, it sounds about right. Another double-digit performance by the Atlanta Braves, and rightfully so, as they hit the gas pedal. 4 runs in the 7th, 5 runs in the top of the 9th, 18 total hits for the Braves. But there were some interesting occurrences. Before we get to the game itself, Joe, you know, seeing some of the highlights from the game, yes, we had home runs, yes, we had triples and doubles and a lot of runs scored, but also something interesting here. A couple fans were able to make their way onto the field in Colorado. And also, it was a little bit of a, what is going on here? A couple hugs, a couple security guards. I thought it was interesting to see where Ronald Acuna could have taken this completely different direction. Calm and relaxed. Let the two people get close to him, give him hugs as he waited, seemed like an eternity, for security to come out. And also, his teammates not really doing too much either at this point. I credit Ronald Acuna because if he would have taken this a different direction, Joe, my goodness, it could have gotten ugly.
Well, I mean, imagine being Acuna, right? So not only 4 hits, 5 ribbies, you know, a couple of stolen bases, having just an absolute MVP-style night, and that being the least exciting thing that happened to you in this game. Because the minute that the fans came running out to him and started hugging him, and not one but two, and it just took... it took security. It felt like an eternity out there. And by the way, where were his teammates? Finally, I think like a backup catcher ended up running out there, was beating security. But it did look like, I mean, thank goodness it did look as if it was just that. It was a couple of real, you know, big fans there that, that you know, once the edibles kicked in, decided they wanted to go meet him, and they didn't want to wait till after the game. So there you go. But all is well, and it just capped what was an unbelievable night for Acuna, and this MVP race that we're looking at now is out of control.
A lot of things are illegal in Denver, Colorado. One thing that is not, you cannot just run onto the field and say, hey, man, just wanted to meet you, get a hug, maybe a selfie picture. So those guys probably spent some nice time in the local county jail last night, and we'll see what happens. But again, in a situation that could have been really bad turned out to be A-OK here for the Braves, and rightfully so. You talk about Ronald Acuna yesterday in the MVP race. The big news was, hey, Donnie, did you see that Mookie Betts has overtaken Ronald Acuna? So we went back and forth yesterday, Joe, both myself and Kevin, saying, well, what would be the difference here? Like, Acuna's still having a very good season, but Mookie Betts has been absolutely on fire over the past month. And take a look at this now. You look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, a complete role reversal. -160 favorite back to Ronald Acuna. Why? 4 of 5 last night. 5 RBI, which included a home run. Ups his average to .335. This is going to be awesome to watch this play out throughout the rest of the way. But again, looking at that Braves lineup, everybody on every night can do damage. That's what makes them so special. But talk to me about this race here. The NL MVP, which looks like it was sewn up by Acuna just 2 weeks ago, flips the bets, now flips right back to Ronald Acuna Jr.
So the only question I have, Donnie, with this is that, and of course, we know the people in charge of voting for these awards, right, which is obviously who you need to worry about if you're going to tie up your money in suggesting one of these guys is going to win. They both have on that list there two teammates that will either steal votes from them and be the reason why they lose. So I'm wondering... You got the two best teams in baseball, the Dodgers and Braves, with four MVP candidates, by the way, it looks like, on that, with Olsen and Freeman. So how do you account for who's going to steal what votes here? Because you and I both know Freeman's going to get votes, and so there's no way Olsen's not getting votes. So I don't know how you bet this thing with a clear conscience, knowing you're probably going to get screwed over by a teammate of theirs.
Like, so many times it's different. Like, we talk about, like, the Heisman race, right? It's week to week. So, yes, if there's 13 or 14 games total in the schedule, you know, it's going to change. But baseball is 162 games. It's just wild to me where Acuna had, April, May, June, July, and the early parts of August. He just held on, minus 300s, minus 400s. And out of nowhere, Mookie Betts overtakes that lead, only to see it one day later with a great performance by Acuna to take it back. And also, not take it back like a minus 110, like up to a minus 160 now. It is interesting, the betting market here at the FanDuel Sportsbook and what we're going to see throughout the rest of the way. Another Major League Baseball game out on the West Coast, a game yesterday that we broke down. And if you would ask me, Donnie, where's your money going? Probably going to be made on the Diamondbacks, but more than likely on the under in that game. Zach Gallen gets blasted for two home runs in the first inning. The Diamondbacks found themselves down 3-0 right off the bat from the Los Angeles Dodgers. Winds up in a 7-4 win for the Dodgers. Run line winner and also goes over the total. Surprising performance there, because I thought even though Gallen was not at home, where he is a better pitcher than on the road, still pitcher's ballpark for the Dodgers. He didn't last too long in that one.
No, it didn't last long at all there. And once again, the Dodgers are playing from in front, and they got to him immediately. You know, it wasn't a great spot for either the Dodgers or the Braves. Dodgers having, a ridiculous, crazy series against the Red Sox, had to fly all the way home, Donnie, East Coast to West Coast, and had to play, a team that is vying and trying to hold on to a postseason. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter at all. They came out, they swung the bats, did exactly what they did in Boston, and they got to the number one of Arizona like it was no big deal. So them and Atlanta both continuing just to roll no matter what the spot is on the schedule. They don't seem to care at this point.
No, certainly. Let's take a look at those wild card races between the American League and the National League, because it looks like we're getting some separation in the American League. The top spot in the wild card position does land with the Tampa Bay Rays, a 5.5 game lead. So they're probably going to be in the playoffs here. The Rangers and the Astros in a virtual tie for the second and third wild card spot, which leaves the Blue Jays about 2.5 games back. Then the Red Sox 5.5 and the New York Yankees 11 games back. Let me just ask you a question here, because the Rangers, Astros, and Mariners, they're going to be fighting down the stretch for two wild card spots and also a chance to win the AL West. The Toronto Blue Jays, who were 5-5 in the last 10 games, 2.5 games back, immensely talented here. If I were to ask you this question today, are we going to see three teams from the AL West in the playoffs?
So funny, Donnie, because we were having this a couple of months ago going, is it possible that every team in the American League East would finish above 500?
That's correct.
We'd have three teams from the American League East. And what a difference a month makes, because now we're talking about it from the fact of, and really, I think this is only because of how absolutely absurd Seattle has been since the All-Star break, Donnie. I mean, when you look at them, they went from, I believe, under 500 to a spot now in which they are very much alive in that division. I mean, they were 7.5 games out, and now, and this was back in August 15th, they were 7.5 games out. And now we've got, 9-10 games later, and here we are talking about the American League West being the division that people should be worried about. It's ridiculous every 2 weeks how the storylines and the narratives have changed based upon a team we didn't anticipate all of a sudden getting red hot and putting themselves right in the middle of the conversation.
Let's flip it over quickly to the NL here, because the same thing could be happening in the NL West. You take a look at the Arizona Diamondbacks. If the season ended today, would be in the playoffs. Just behind them, a half game back, is the San Francisco Giants, and then the leaders out there for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So same question quickly here, Joe. What are we thinking about three teams from the NL West getting in?
It's amazing. It's like a carbon copy here in the National League West of what we got going on, and it's very, very possible that we will be looking at three teams from the West. Hard to believe, but that's what we're looking at right now.
There you go. The extra wild card spot here leads to a lot more races here and a lot more fun down the stretch in September. Now, it is football season, and college football, Joe Ranieri, started week zero with a bang last week. Week one coming up, many more games, top 20 involved. And the best part about that is we can take a look at some of these games from an early look approach. Come on back. It's the Early Line right here on the Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
These are the good times right now because why? Football is back in our lives. And yes, we take a look last week at week zero, now into week one in college football. And we still wait. We're roughly a week or so away from the NFL opening night on Thursday, September the 7th. But let me ask you this, Joe, taking a look at last week, which was week zero. I usually am, you know, huff and puff and I get angry and put my hater hat on. I don't like it. But you know what? I laid down a couple wagers in week zero, and I won those wagers. I thought week zero was fantastic the way it turned out. Let me just ask you a simple question. Living up to the hype, we know Sam Hartman of Notre Dame and also Caleb Williams of USC are going to be in that Heisman race. Did anything change your mind from week number one, or did it stay the same and say, yeah, they're two really good football teams going against two really bad football teams. This is what we were supposed to get. But I thought the USC quarterback Caleb Williams and Hartman of Notre Dame, I thought they played well despite the circumstances of going against teams that, you know what, might be a little bit boring here.
Well, I do think San Jose State was a much better test for USC than what Navy was for Notre Dame. I mean, you could just see the size discrepancy in Dublin when they walked out on the field and you're like, my goodness, they're playing against trees. Like what are these poor guys on Navy, what were they supposed to do except get run over, which is exactly what happened. And more importantly, I thought the coaching by both USC and Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame knew they were bigger, faster, stronger than Navy and didn't put a whole lot on film, did they, Donnie? Outside of run left, run right, it was a very vanilla offense. Hartman made the throws he was supposed to make, and that was it. They didn't, they didn't empty the playbook, and neither did Caleb Williams and company. Didn't have to because of, kick return touchdowns and those types of things, but I do think both teams did exactly what we thought they were going to do, and that was win the games and win them rather easily. However, Notre Dame was the one who covered, and USC, I don't believe, was able to cover that 30 or 31 points that they were laying.
And by the way, don't judge a book by its cover with Navy, but we were told in the offseason, Joe, that watch out for Navy. There's new wrinkles in the passing game. Yeah, wrinkly like an 85-year-old at this point here. Come on now. Yeah. I mean, you got to throw the ball sometimes being down at this point, Navy. Let's keep it moving to this week and have some fun Thursday night football. Florida and Utah. Cam Rising back for maybe his 37th year, it feels like, at Utah, but also from a Florida Gators perspective. You're going to have an opposite look this year, meaning Anthony Richardson was an incredible talent and athlete at Florida. Now you go to Graham Mertz, more of a pro-style quarterback. Talk to me about this game as we line it up, too, with the FanDuel Sportsbook, taking a look at the favorite here for Utah, -6.5, and how about this? A 45.5 total for this one.
Yeah, after it opened at 50.5, and look at where that total has been going. And also, look at where the totals went in week zero here, Donnie. We had quite a number of unders play out here, which, if you go back a couple of years, it's been the trend. It was like this last year. Early in the season, unders were the way to look here. Offense is obviously not that in tune. And I do believe the uncertainty surrounding Cam Rising and his ability to be able to play and be 100% in this game is why you've seen this thing crater from 50.5 to 45.5, Donnie. Yeah. Now, listen, Utah released the depth chart on Friday, and they have him listed as the starter. But I still haven't seen anything official as far as, all right, he's the guy that's going to be on the sender. And if he's not, this is a different Utah team than with him being the quarterback. So I do think it's worth hanging out until you get official confirmation one way or the other in this game with him, because he does mean that much to this Utah team.
By the way, also looking at that number, you're right. FanDuel opened up at 51.5, now sitting at 45.5. Something to keep an eye on there. Let's keep it moving and head here till Saturday. West Virginia and Penn State, 7:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff here. Again, the total opens up at the FanDuel Sportsbook here in this game, 54.5 today. 50.5 as a total. The favorite for Penn State, they open up as a 19.5 point favorite. That's been bounced up now to 20.5 points. The one thing we can take a look at Penn State, I do love this about James Franklin. If you want him to cover numbers against teams they're supposed to put away, he loves to run up the score in the fourth quarter when the game is out of reach. You take a look at West Virginia, yeah, storied football program, but picked to be one of the worst teams in the Big 12 this year. So if I'm putting two and two together, Penn State's the better football team. Penn State's at home. You do like to run the score up a little bit with James Franklin. I think they cover this number this weekend. Talk to me a little bit about West Virginia and Penn State here to start the season for the Nittany Lions.
Well, you know, it's kind of a do or die season there for West Virginia and their coach and that staff there, right? So there are some questions as far as what this team, I mean, they're slated to be about a 500 team this year when you look at a lot of the win totals and the what a lot of guys are perceiving this team to be, that being West Virginia. Now, you know, you brought up a good point here. Penn State tends to, in games in which they are the better team at home and have an ability to be able to step on your throat, they will. So I think this all comes down to whether you think West Virginia can hang with them long enough where they're not going to have the ability to do that. But this is a tough one for me because you're right. They know that style points matter, and Penn State, if given the chance and the opportunity, will run up this score. I think defensively, they are heads and tails above where West Virginia is. I think it's going to be a tough offensive day for West Virginia in this one.
Yeah, highly touted quarterback here for Penn State, and certainly want to get him off in the right direction here. So throw an extra couple touchdown passes to sort of boost that morale around campus. We'll see what happens here with the Nittany Lions, because quite frankly, everybody just painting them as the third team in the Big Ten this year. Maybe they can do some damage, pull a couple upsets here, and finally play for a national championship. It's been quite some time for them. Let's keep it here with college football. How about a noon kickoff on Saturday? The intriguing one. Not because of the spread, but it's Colorado and TCU. Total in this game opened up at 61.5. Now, going in the opposite direction of the previous two games that we talked about, now up to 63 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and a number of -20.5 as a favorite towards TCU. If you're watching hype videos, you're getting excited and you're entertained, that is the Colorado Buffaloes. But now does that translate over to the gridiron? Because Colorado, for most of their games this year, they're going to be outmanned, which includes against TCU, a 3-touchdown dog here.
Yeah, I don't know how we are expecting Colorado to do anything outside of get run over in most games here. Now, listen, the most entertaining part about this game is going to be interview and the coach's corner afterwards, where we get to have comments and watch Deion Sanders explain to the world how this is part of the process. You know, getting blown out by 40 points is it's just a way that it goes. I am not buying it. I think this is going to be ugly. I would look to not only back TCU early and often, maybe first half, but I do think this is going to be one of those situations because they're that undermanned, Donnie, where they're going to be in all likelihood paying backups for TCU in the second half, which, you know, that's when things tend to go a little bit sideways sometimes. So I would look at the under because I don't think we're going to get a whole lot from Colorado here. And in the second half, if we're getting nothing but second and third stringers, I'm good with the under in this one, if anything.
Yeah, it should be interesting to see this one play out and also the maturation process of the Buffaloes team that is young here. Mm. They're expected to do a lot because they have Deion Sanders. But again, Deion Sanders doesn't play football here. His son, however, does play a quarterback. We'll see how it turns out here at this point. Ohio State and Indiana, a heavy favorite of Ohio State, going on the road in Big Ten play. 29.5 point favorites here. A total that's just under 60, sitting at 59.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. You want wide receivers? You got them at Ohio State. The question is the quarterback going to live up to the hype here and provide Ohio State with a legitimate chance to win the Big Ten this year? Give me some thoughts on Ohio State. We just running away with this game and running up the score, or can Indiana play a bit of a spoiler here and say, ooh, maybe Ohio State isn't that good this year?
Yeah, it's so hard. I mean, how do we really think Ohio State is going to come out of the gate and Day is going to be just, you know, lacking in talent and, oh, it's going to be a – no, it's not. This is going to be what I would anticipate it to be, no matter whether it was week one, week five, week eight. I do think Ohio State is going to come out and want to prove a point. And it just goes to show you, I mean, here we are talking about some Big Ten games, right? We're talking about even some, you know, Penn State and West Virginia, right, crossing over. But the lack of ranked teams playing one another this week, Donnie, is a little head-scratching in week one of college football. We're outside of Florida State and LSU. We're getting 30-point spreads. We're being asked to lay 29 and 30-point spreads in a Big Ten game. Not something I thought we would see, but the schedule makers, this is what they gave us, and there would be only one way to look here, Donnie, and it would be with the Buckeyes here to roll all day long.
That's what I say. Make me commissioner of college football. We're not going to have any cupcake schedules here. We're going to get some bangers. Right. And also, do what the NFL does, Joe, on opening night. When they open their season up, all eyes on a really good football game. College football should be doing the same thing here. Quickly, we'll take a look at one final game, LSU and Florida State, maybe the game of the weekend here. -2.5 favorite for LSU. Florida State expecting big things in the ACC this year.
Yeah, no, they are, and they're going to have quite the test right off the bat. So if the ACC wants to be taken seriously, if Florida State is in fact back, well, there's no better time than the present for you to show it. However, there is a bit of a storm coming through, so it'll be interesting to see if that it affects this game.
We'll see if it does. Also, another storm coming through for the Indianapolis Colts today. Why is that? Well, not only is it cut down day, it is deadline day on Jonathan Taylor. Let's talk some NFL. Keep it right here, SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cut down day in the NFL. Tremendous stuff here. And again, it used to be in the past, Joe Ranieri, we'd have cut down day. It's like, okay, we got to make the final 10 cuts to our football team. But the NFL basically does it in one fell swoop. They get down from like 90 to 53 in a matter of minutes. And that'll take place just a little bit later today. But before we get to some of those details, there is also another deadline here that's taking place for the Indianapolis Colts, a self-imposed deadline from the Indianapolis Colts on their talented running back, Jonathan Taylor, to find a deal with another team and also that other team to have compensation coming back that the Indianapolis Colts would deem okay to make that move. Let me ask you this question and start here. We come to 4 o'clock, midnight, whenever that actual deadline is today for Jonathan Taylor. Is he moved today?
It's so hard with this team. I have absolutely no idea what Ursay, why it's even at this point is beyond me, given the status of that running back room there. Unless this was the plan all along is to make them sweat, and then they're going to throw enough money at them where it's going to be like, all right, water under the bridge. I mean, I don't know why you went through all of this ridiculousness. But again, this is the same team, Donnie, that ended up bringing in Perryman when they had already 12 other wide receivers in the room and then end up releasing him after signing him. So, like, I don't know what Ursay and his team are doing. You need a stable force in the running game with your rookie quarterback, and the fact that we're at this now trying to figure out in the, in the 12th hour whether or not he's going to be on this team. I would venture to say yes. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but I don't see, I just don't see Ursay pulling the trigger and giving him away for free. And unfortunately, Donnie, if he hasn't been moved to this point, who's going to go out of their way to try and get him now? All the best offers have to have been given at this point, no?
It's going to be interesting here, but as we bring up like the Colts and their decision-making over the past couple years, right? Frank Reich's their head coach. They have Phillip Rivers. They moved to Carson Wentz. Reich probably wanted to have Wentz around for another year to see if they can get something out of him. Jim Irsay said, absolutely not. Just get rid of him. He wants Matt Ryan in there. They bring Matt Ryan in. Matt Ryan is forced to the bench for Sam Eilinger, which means Frank Reich is fired, and Jeff Saturday comes in out of nowhere. That didn't work out. And then we say, boy, we love our tailback, man. He's going to be sensational. We just don't want to pay you at all. But, oh, by the way, if you want to make a trade with another organization to get paid, just make sure we get a first-round draft pick back, which means you value him much, much more than you actually want to pay him. Now, your point is interesting here on this too, Joe, because if you want to make a deal, other teams are making offers. It hasn't worked out just yet. But are you going to tell me too? Because most teams making offers have probably already been in touch with his agent saying, okay, what's the compensation you're looking for? Okay, we can do that. Now let's see if we can make a deal with the Colts. So hearing that, if you're Jonathan Taylor and you stay on the Colts, it's $3.7 million. But let's just say it's the Miami Dolphins, Joe, and they're going like, you know what? 3 years, $40 million. We'll give you $25 million guaranteed. Come on over. There's no way if that trade falls through, Jonathan Taylor's going to be like, hey, you know what? No big deal, Colts. I'm back for $3.7 million. Let's play football.
Well, and that's the interesting thing, too. We don't know what the numbers and the conversations behind the scenes have been with his agents and other teams. But the reality is, if he is not garnering the kind of money on the open market that he had thought he was worth, then maybe it's been a humbling experience for Jonathan Taylor, and maybe they do work it out. Because if he's not hearing the kinds of numbers that he had thought he was worth from other teams, and there hasn't been a deal offered, it's all about leverage, Donnie. To me, at this point, who's got all the leverage? It's not the Colts anymore if they're looking to trade him, but it certainly ain't Jonathan Taylor either at this point in the game, since nobody has stepped up to basically overwhelm Irsay and take you off their hands.
It's a wild scenario. And again, we're expected to have a deadline today, but let me look, today's not really the deadline for them. I'm pretty sure they would go into Wednesday if they felt that they could get a deal done for their superstar talented running back and compensation back that they would like. Let's talk about another crazy scenario here. Let's move it out west here. The Arizona Cardinals. It looks like they are in full-on tank mode right now as they release Colt McCoy. And look, we're not saying if they had Colt McCoy, Joe, right? Oh, that's going to be a Super Bowl run for the Cardinals. We knew it was going to be a tough uphill climb. That even got tougher. But also, Kyler Murray, as expected, is going to start the first four games of the season on the PUP list. But my question to you is this. Arizona's not set up to win football games. Let's just say we're in week seven and we're 0-7 here for the Cardinals. Is Kyler Murray coming back to play off of an injury with all of that money on the table and the Arizona Cardinals in tank mode, so they technically don't want to win games, but then they want to showcase Kyler Murray while they don't win football games? This feels like a disaster for the Cardinals, Joe.
And I think it's exactly what they want, Don. I'm not saying there's tanking in any professional sport, because Lord knows it doesn't happen in the NBA.
Yeah.
And it certainly doesn't happen in baseball. But, the idea to think that a team would absolutely go out of their way to suck with the opportunity to have, the number one pick again next year. I can't see it, but I also can't see Dobbs or Clayton Toon as the answer to a 5-6 win team. Now, if I'm not mistaken, and I know a lot of people ran out immediately with this news to bet the unders in just about every category there is for this Arizona team. So I would think that if the betting market is catching wind and understanding that this team is going to be lucky to win two games, what is that locker room like when you throw Clayton Toon out there, who would, by the way, not be starting or even a number two on any other team in the NFL outside of Philadelphia right now? I mean, outside of Arizona right now. So, I mean, two wins, Donnie, maybe one. I don't see how this team wins anything anytime soon moving forward.
But how about this, though? If you are the Commanders, you got to be nervous about this as we take a look at a tweet that pops up here from Jonathan Gannon that says he won't name a week one starting quarterback because he wants to have a competitive advantage. A competitive advantage would be like, hey, you know what? They have a young, healthy Cam Newton in his prime, and also they have Aaron Rodgers in his prime on the same football team. Ooh, you know what? I'll hold that under wraps. They have to spend extra time preparing for two all-world quarterbacks that do different things. The fact of the matter is Clayton Tune shows up or Josh Dobbs. I don't think the Commanders care. They're probably just going to lay waste to the Cardinals as is. But I appreciate Jonathan Gannon here saying, you know what? Competitive advantage here. For who?
Yeah. Keeping it spicy, Gannon. Way to go there. But quite honestly, if I'm the Commanders, I'm more worried with the fact that my head coach had no idea Sam Howell could play football. That's a little bit more disturbing than worrying about who the quarterback is for Arizona. That's not going to make the difference one way or the other, but I digress. The reality is, hey, listen, unless he feels it serves as a better competition, you know, boost between those two, but quite honestly, both your options are terrible. The team is going to be terrible. And how would you like to be holding season tickets right now for an Arizona squad that is obviously not interested in making a push to win, well, just about any game here this year, including the first one against the Commanders?
We're going to take a look here at the worst regular season record odds here with the Arizona Cardinals at a plus 250 price here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But by the way, your comment there, that side swipe at the Commanders, is so true. Like Ron Rivera admitting yesterday saying he should have played Sam Howell sooner. And then the people reminding him saying in week 17 or game 17 in week 18, when it didn't matter, he actually still wanted to play Heinicke. And Heinicke stood up in the quarterback meeting and said, don't play me. Play this young kid, Sam Howell, here. So who knows what is going on for the Commanders at this point. But when you take a look at the worst regular season record, the Cardinals are plus 250 price. You usually see like a 350 behind him or a 450. Plus 850 for the Buccaneers. It's a runaway right now for the Cardinals in this race.
It's not even close. And all of the moves and what they're doing, it is the perfect storm. It really is. It's the perfect storm for the Cardinals, who are set up to win one, maybe two games all year long. And they are looking, they are obviously looking ahead, because in no way does it make any sense with your franchise quarterback. We know is going to be out for the foreseeable future. You know, he's on the PUP list. So come on. He's not coming back this year if he's coming back at all. But the only quarterback with any sort of experience, you just released in favor of a rookie and a dude that has played with just about every team and practice squad known to mankind. So I don't get what's going on. Well, actually, I do get it. It's they only want to win one to two games max this year, and that's exactly what they're going to do.
By the way, in other football news here, you know, you saw the fallout here of some football players gambling on NFL football, particularly on their own team. We take a look at Isaiah Rodgers, who's actually signed yesterday by the Philadelphia Eagles. Here's the difference between organizations where it's like, hey, you know, let's just stash value. If you were the Colts and you thought this kid could play, it looks like he's going to be a decent cornerback here. Maybe he doesn't turn out to be a Jalen Ramsey or Darrell Revis, but if you're the Colts, he goes on the commissioner's / pup list and inactive, where you don't have to pay him, and his contract doesn't resume till next year. So you still have him in your organization, but they cut him, the Eagles pick him up, and they don't have to pay him this year, and next year he'll revert back to his old contract, and you get a free look-see here. It's an interesting move by the Philadelphia Eagles. If it turns out where he's anything of a player, it is a great move by the Eagles, but also puzzling to the Colts where, yeah, he made a mistake, and okay, you should still keep him. You don't have to pay him, and you still have his rights for next year. Interesting move for the Philadelphia Eagles that may pay dividends down the road for them.
Smart move by the Eagles, and we've learned that about Howie and company there, have we not? They always seem to have their eye on the future, and it's a no-risk situation, right? So once he does get reinstated, if he gets reinstated, and in all likelihood, it looks like he'll be good to go next year, he's already got enough on tape. He's proven enough to go, hey, you know, these guys don't necessarily grow on trees here, Donnie. It's to have a, you know, an NFL-caliber DB there is absolutely worth the shot to say, all right, not costing us anything. We'll stash him. And when he comes available, when he gets reinstated, we'll bring him out. We'll see what we have. No harm, no foul. I don't know why nobody else was running. Nobody's even going to remember he made a – by the time he gets reinstated, nobody's even going to remember why he was gone. So if you're worried about the stigma, it doesn't make any sense one way or the other. But – again, it's why the Eagles are the Eagles and the Colts are the Colts.
Exactly. I don't think anybody's going to care about the stigma of Calvin Ridley if he's leading them to a division championship down in Jacksonville. Oh, he bet a couple parlays a couple years ago. Nobody's going to care about that. Also, other news with the Philadelphia Eagles, Derek Barnett has been given permission through his agent to seek a trade. Logjam at defensive end and pass rushers, he could be expendable at this point. Most Philadelphia Eagles fans would say, okay, Derek Barnett, the one guy that goes out every game to get a personal foul. But I look at it a little bit differently. In the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots, yes, Brandon Graham got to Tom Brady and was able to strip the ball, but that ball was bouncing around and picked up by Derek Barnett. Always going to be in my heart here in Philadelphia, Joe Ranieri.
Always, and you know what? It will not be that hard to figure out somebody who's willing to bring in a pass rusher here, Donnie, that has proven that, if nothing else, he can get to the QB. So, yes, I think that trade will happen quickly here for him.
And answer me this. If you're a general manager, are you drafting a kicker in the fourth round here? Because apparently the Cleveland Browns did that, didn't work out, no surprise.
So you trade for another one. I give up. I give up. I absolutely give
Cleveland
up.
The Browns.
The Browns will be the Browns. Yes, that's correct.
The Browns will be the Browns here. Let's talk some ACC expansion. Is it on the horizon just at the start of the college football season? Come on back and find out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Little segment here before we hit the top of the hour on the early line, a Tuesday morning edition. Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside here. Let's talk some ACC action. Yeah, there'll be a lot of ACC football teams in action this weekend, but also not only on the gridiron could we see some ACC action, also off the gridiron, as it looks like here per a Jim Williams tweet earlier this morning, CBS Sports last night's ACC meeting to discuss the adding of Stanford, Cal, and SMU could resume today. Let me ask you this, because we're hearing a lot about this. Usually where there's smoke, there's fire. They're going to add these three teams. I think we can agree. Are we just working out the money at this point, Joe?
Well, of course, that's what it is. I mean, the first numbers I think that we saw were by adding those three teams, you're adding roughly about $70 to $75 million there in revenue by bringing those three in there. So it is absolutely all about the money here. And it looks like, hey, being able to get them and bring in the number is 72, by the way. Another $72 million annually to the conference is something they will have absolutely no problem agreeing on. I think you need, 12 of the 15 to vote yes? And I'm sure they probably already have those votes.
By the way, shout out teams like SMU, who it's not so much where the ACC really wants them to add to it. It's basically SMU goes like, we'll come along and we'll actually pay you guys to come along for a little bit here to show us our worth in the conference. But it's interesting that they would expand into California and into Texas as the ACC. That's the Atlantic Coast Conference, not the West Coast Conference at this point. But again, money drives everything, and we're just getting one or two steps closer here to just having a super conference where just the big boys are getting paid and everybody's left on the outside, certainly looking in. Now, hour number two is going to come up here. We have a lot of topics to get through, which includes Major League Baseball. We have a complete preview, but also, how about this? The FIBA World Cup is going on, and also the U.S. Open. It's no better place to be here on a Tuesday morning, getting your day set here with Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri on the grid, Sirius XM channel 159. We'll be right back.